I wouldn't say I have a sermon today. Feel like last week was my last real sermon, leaving you with five big themes that I would want you to remember. What we're going to do this morning is a little bit different. What I'd like to do is celebrate you. I'd like to celebrate you, the amazing people that make up Lincoln Berean Church. You have been strong and courageous, and God has done amazing things. To God be the glory. 2 weeks ago, Ryan opened this short series by taking us to Joshua chapter 1. Opens with the words, "Moses, my servant, is dead." I have no doubt Joshua was completely overwhelmed at the call of God on his life to now lead these people into the promised land. So God says to him, "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you." What's implied in that statement is that the people needed to go back and remember, think about, celebrate what God had done for his people in order to gain what they needed to be strong and courageous for whatever God had for them next. Listen to the words of the psalmist as he exhorts us to remember, to think about, to celebrate the great things that God has done.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Proclaim his greatness.
Let the whole world know what he has done.
Sing to him.
Sing his praises.
Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds.
Exult in his holy name.
Rejoice, you who worship the Lord.
Search for the Lord and for his strength.
Continually seek him.
Remember the wonders he has performed.
His miracles and the rulings he has given.
I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever.
I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever.
I will praise you forever.
I will praise you forever.
Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise.
No one can measure his greatness.
Let each generation
tell its children of your mighty acts.
Let them proclaim your power.
We will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles.
Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue.
We will proclaim your greatness.
Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness.
They will sing with joy about your righteousness.
The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love.
The Lord is good to everyone.
He showers compassion on all his creation.
All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you.
They will speak of the glory of your kingdom.
They will give examples of your power.
They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign.
For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
You rule throughout all
generations.
The Lord is gracious in all he does. He always keeps his promises.
I want to do just a couple of things here. I want us to, first of all, take a quick look back. And as we look back, I'm reminded that this church was founded in a prayer meeting. Those few people prayed that God would do whatever it would take to be honored in their lives and in this city. And I believe that God heard and answered their prayers in a very specific way.
Sometimes God just says go, and it doesn't work in the budget, and we don't necessarily have a great strategy for it. We just walk by faith. That's what it means to be a people of faith. That has been the history of this church.
Look at what God has done, the way he has faithfully blessed this church. And as the people of this church have faithfully responded to the way he's blessed.
I think back to those early years, we didn't tell God what to do. We just told him we were available for whatever he wanted to do in us and through us.
This church must be founded upon Jesus Christ and upon his unchanging, unfailing word. That is what we must continue to build on.
And that is the passion of my life. It's about people and introducing them to God in an eternal relationship.
Because at the end of the day, ministry is always about people.
What does this new building mean to you and me today? Is it a tool to accomplish what God has called us to do? I hope it is. Is it an opportunity, a means to an end to glorify God? I trust that it is. And we're to meet together here to honor him by celebrating and worship of our God, of studying the Word of God and applying it to our hearts. And then taking the Word of God and reaching out to others around us who are in need.
Every time we talk about numbers and we talk about overcrowd and we talk about changes we need to make, never forget we're talking about people.
But when people are seeking God, the last thing we want them to hear is, sorry, there's no room for you. So we believe that God is leading us to build a new auditorium, a youth complex, 100 churches in India. And we believe that we have to have a church in North Lincoln to reach North Lincoln. For the first time in 13 years, at this hour of the morning, there are empty seats. It's been really hard to keep the mission in focus when there's nowhere to sit. But this is a new season. This is a new day. And it's important for every single one of us to re-up our commitment to the mission. Our mission statement says to glorify God by seeking to present every person complete in Christ. Whenever we talk about presenting people complete in Christ, it comes down to seeing lives changed one life at a time. In other words, God's going to say, I gave you 50 years of life. What did you do with it? There's only going to be one answer that will satisfy, and that is I used my time, my talents, my energies, my resources to build your kingdom.
Certainly one thing we desire above everything else is that the glory of God will fill our lives, that we will be a testimony of the grace of God and of the love of Jesus Christ to this city and to the whole world.
The greatest threat, the greatest danger in the church is that we would begin to settle for a low view of God. And so my prayer for us as we think, as we pray about how we should engage, is that our focus would be on Jesus and that our vision of him would become so large that we'd be able to go out with confidence and with courage and with joy.
We have grown and expanded our ministry in dramatic ways. God is doing amazing things in Southeast Asia. We have invested ourselves out into our community. We have grown with our ministries on this campus. And in the midst of all of that, for the first time in 53 years, Lincoln Berean is 100% debt-free. If you gave, if you served, if you prayed, you've been a part of what God has done around the world, and we should celebrate that together.
Missionaries being sent, City Impact being launched, North Point being launched, Harbor Ministries, Hope Venture, all of that coming from within the people of Lincoln Berean, stepping out in faith, trusting God.
Dear people, I see in you all the potential that God wants to release through those who will trust him. And you have demonstrated that again and again as you have trusted God to work through your life in a way that you had never even dreamed possible. And God has done marvelous things.
For 50 years, God has brought us people who have made the decision to invest in that which lasts forever. That which can never be taken away, it can never be lost, it can never be diminished, and 10,000 years from now, it still matters. Nobody runs an individual race. Nobody's running just a sprint or a marathon. It's always a relay.
For those of us who live in light of the cross, we don't live in this precarious position. We live in a state where we can constantly affirm with bold confidence that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can move us into a place where our relationship with Him is beyond repair. Why? Not because we're so good, but because Jesus paid it all. God gave us an opportunity to bring others into what we're experiencing. That we can invite others into this moment where we're coming to know Jesus. We're becoming more like Him. And then we help many, many others do just the same.
This morning, I want to take you down a little stroll down memory lane. 1962, there was a group of people that gathered in a living room for a prayer meeting about launching a new church in Lincoln. Very beginning of that video was that iconic shot of those people. And in that shot, there's two ornery little boys that happened to be with us this morning. So I'm going to invite them to stand. This is Mark and Leroy Rock, their parents, Clayton and Shirley Rock. We're part of that original group. I would say still ornery, but grown up. Mark has been part of our staff for many, many years, our IT staff. And Lisa works as a receptionist, and Leroy and Becky, part of the church for many years. And their son, Kevin, happens to be my cello buddy in the orchestra. So it's really neat to have them still part of the church after these many years. 1962, the church started downtown in the old YMCA building. 1964, moved to 11th and M. And then in 1968, moved to 17th and A. That building is still there. It's a big red brick building. That was the church that we actually grew up in. I was in the youth group. That's kind of my church, at least the building growing up. Then in 1978, the leadership of the church made a decision to buy a piece of ground out at 70th and Highway 2. I'm going to show you a picture of what that looked like in 1978. It was all farm ground. That picture is taken from 70th Street looking to the northeast. There's an old barn and in some other ag building. There was nothing out here. I often think about the courage and faith it took to be an inner city church from 17th and A and make a decision to move out on the outskirts of town in the middle of nowhere with the real risk that maybe people won't go with them. Very strong and courageous. Big step of faith. In 1981, then the first building out here was completed, a building we call the A Wing. The original auditorium today is the preschool classroom, but it's a room that has a lot of meaning to me because that's where Patty and I were married. It's the room where my dad's funeral was. It's the room where my grandma's funeral was. 1981. Last Friday, a week ago, we gathered as a staff and we opened a time capsule that had been placed in the wall of the A-Wing building. It was just really fun to open it up. A lot of it was pictures. And for some of us, it brought back tons of memories of the amazing people who were all part of making Lincoln Berean, Lincoln Berean. None of us would have what we have today without the faithfulness of those people. In 1991, so 10 years later, we built the C Wing, which today we refer to as the chapel. Beautiful, about 750-seat auditorium. That was in 1991. Patty and I came in 1993. The plan when I came was to be an associate pastor, and over the course of 5 to 7 years, I may or may not transition into the role of senior pastor. I came in September. Shortly after that, Kurt was diagnosed with cancer. He was out most of that year, and that September, so 1 year later, I was voted in as the new senior pastor at the ripe old age of 35. I can't really even put into words how overwhelming it was to be made a steward of a church I grew up in, a church I dearly loved, a church that the people dearly loved. But God has been faithful. We worked our way through lots of changes, slowly and carefully, moving away from our fundamentalist roots to more and more of a culture of grace. In 2000, the D Wing was built, which is a 3-story educational building, and without a doubt, it is the most used building on the campus. So it's been a wonderful facility to have. By the time we got to 2003, we were running 6 weekend services, 3 on Sunday morning, 1 on Saturday night, but also 2 were simulcasted into the upper room of the D building. Just to be clear, that was not an overflow, but rather we asked members of the congregation to consider making that your service in order to open up seats in the auditorium, because it was more likely visitors are going to come to the auditorium. Everything in the upper room was live. Live ushers, live announcements, live worship, everything was live until you got to the sermon, and then it was simulcasted from the chapel into the upper room. So those that were in the upper room had to time their worship to such a degree that the same point where it closed in the chapel, it closed in the upper room, so that the preacher, which was me, would step up on stage at the same time. You think about how many people it took to pull that off. What I remember vividly is casting the vision for that and how many people just immediately were willing to sacrifice, make that decision to make more room to accomplish the mission. It was just an army of people, most of whom were not paid. They had full-time jobs, they're busy people, but sacrificed considerable amounts of time and talent and treasures to make that possible. Somehow we had to get to the place where we thought the next step was at least reasonably possible. One of the other things that for me is a great memory during those days was those were the days of the Easter musical. For 6 days leading up to Easter, we had an Easter drama, an Easter musical. The chapel packed out every single night, 6 nights in a row. It was, the place was buzzing. People from all over the city came. It was a great outreach. God did amazing things through that. Robin Smith directed that. She did a great job. My wife, Patty, was actually in charge of all the set, put together a team. But I think back about how many people that took, a massive army of people. Most of these people were not paid. They had full-time jobs. They were busy people. But for months, invested themselves into this to make it work. Even just for our family, Patty was not paid. She was not an employee. But I can tell you she was here all day, every day, for months, trying to put it together to pull that off. To me, that just reflects the people's commitment to the mission, for serving, for coming together to make that happen. And it was a great season for us. But with all of that, we began to wrestle with the reality that this pace was not sustainable. Everybody was wearing out. The people were wearing out. The staff was wearing out. It's like, we can't keep doing this. So over and over, we as elders would discuss this. But it was a bit overwhelming. Our giving at that time was flat, and we were struggling every year just to finish in the black. It was a real scarcity mentality. On top of that, we had $3 million in debt. And as far as we could tell from our research, the next step was going to cost roughly $15 million. So again and again, we had this conversation. We finally came to what I think all of us that were on that elder board would say was a faithful elder meeting. We could sense God's leading, but we were struggling with being overwhelmed by this decision. So over and over and over again, we talked well into the night, well past midnight. And I remember as part of that discussion, I took us to the end of the book of Exodus, where Moses sends in 12 spies to view the land. Two come back, Joshua and Caleb, and say, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. We need to trust God. We can do this. But 10 of them said, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but it's filled with giants. They're too big. We can't do it. Let's go back to Egypt. And as a result of the unfaithfulness of the leaders, God said, as a result of that, this entire generation will wander in the wilderness until they die there. And then God will consider the opportunity for the next generation to have the chance to trust him and go into the land. That's actually where the scene picks up in Joshua chapter 1. It's time for Joshua and this next generation to trust God and to take the land. I remember saying to the elders, having thought about that passage for weeks, that as a leader, I don't think I could live with myself if I did not have enough faith and courage to trust God. And a result of that, an entire generation would wander in the wilderness and miss the chance to see God do amazing things. Ultimately, I told them, I would rather die having at least tried to take the land than to spend the rest of my life wandering in the wilderness, knowing I never had the courage to try. So we came together as an elder board. We all agreed and on a unanimous decision decided it was time to launch forward. We were determined to make sure this was about the mission. It's not about building buildings. It's about reaching people, but we were out of room. So consistent with that, as we prayed, felt like God was laying on our heart to do some other things also consistent with the purpose. One of those things is we believed God was leading us to hive off 250 to 300 people to go north to plant a church in North Lincoln, which today is North Point Community Church, to build a 2,500-seat auditorium, to build a detached youth complex, to plant at least 100 churches in India, and to see if we could start a leadership college. That was all part of a 3-year campaign. I vividly remember the weekend when we unveiled this to the congregation. I laid it out, and you could have heard a pin drop. People were in utter shock. As a matter of fact, there were several people in between services that actually said to me, "Pastor, we think the elders have lost their minds." A couple of weeks ago, Patty and I had supper with a lovely couple from Lincoln Berean who was in that meeting, and we were reminiscing, and they brought it up. That weekend, when I unveiled all that, they said they went home, and the wife said to her husband, "What do you think about what Brian said?" And he said to his wife, "I think Brian has lost his mind." But over the next few weeks, we just asked the people to pray about it, to seek God's leading. And it wasn't long, it was just a matter of weeks, where you could feel it. There was a buzz in this place where people were getting a sense that this is where God is leading, that we can trust God, we need to step out by faith. And it was evident that the people were on board. Be strong and courageous, we are going to do this thing. So we officially launched the Purpose campaign. So over the next 3 years, we sought to accomplish all of those initiatives that were laid out. I don't know, a couple years into it, this shell was built, the floor was still dirt. And on two occasions, we had large balloon payments due, and we simply didn't have the money. And on two occasions, the elders actually gathered in this room. We literally, physically knelt in the dirt, and we begged God to provide the money we needed. I think all of us that were on that elder board would say we will never forget that. And on both occasions, through unexpected ways, God graciously provided the money we needed. This auditorium was scheduled to open Easter of 2007. It was really important to me that we have some sort of a family time together in here before Easter Sunday, because I knew on Easter Sunday there'd be a lot of visitors and guests and people wanting to see the building. So on Palm Sunday of 2007, we met in the chapel just like every week. But about halfway through the service, we let people know that we were opening up this auditorium, and there was a parade from the chapel into this auditorium, and we had one time to be in here together as family, to celebrate what God had done, to celebrate the faithfulness of God's people, and to re-up our commitment to the mission. In 2007, on Easter Sunday, the building officially opened. God has done amazing things. We've gone from a church with a scarcity mindset, always struggling to stay in the black, to a church that has a reputation throughout the Midwest of being a very generous church. It still is amazing to me that in 2016, for the first time since 6 months into becoming a church, the church became 100% debt-free. We paid off everything for the Purpose campaign. We paid off the C-wing debt. We paid off the D-wing debt. To me, it's very meaningful. As I step away from being a pastor of Lincoln Brand, that we hand over 50 acres of ground, a beautiful facility, and not one penny of debt, which sets the next generation free to listen and to follow God to whatever big things God has in store in the future. Because of your generosity, the generosity of the people of Lincoln Brien, with your time, your talents, and your resources, we have been able to expand in many ways the things that we have done on this campus, out into the community, and globally around the world. One of those memories for me is once we were debt-free, one of the things we were able to do is one of our senior leaders, Tim Balke, had a vision for a ministry to leaders across the country, called it Harbor Ministry. And we agreed as an elder board to pay his full-time salary, but allow him to spend most of his time launching that ministry. Today, that ministry has reached leaders all over the country. Tim is now full-time with that ministry. I don't know of any other church I've ever heard of that has ever done that. But it's been an amazing investment into the larger church around the country. Last year, 2025, and the year before, 2024, we were able, together in those 2 years, to give away $350,000 to the most practical, benevolent needs of people in our community. This money goes to things like rent, paying your utilities, hospital bills, grocery bills, the most basic needs that people have. And it's been exciting for us to be able to serve our community in that way. Two other memories for me that I think are fun related to generosity. One is in 2016, we decided to do a Habitat for Humanity house, just as a way to serve our community. So I remember meeting with Habitat and they laid everything out. And roughly, we need to come up with, I don't remember what it was, $80,000, $90,000. And then the house would be built on our property and moved to its location. They had a huge notebook full of all these fundraising ideas, car washes and all these different things you need to do. We have lots of experience. Here's what you need to do it. And I remember vividly closing the notebook and saying, that won't be necessary. They're like, oh yeah, this is what you have to do. It's like, I don't think so. I said, I think all I have to do is let the people know. So I laid out the vision for a Habitat house, and in a matter of weeks, $90,000 had come in. We started the house out on the north little parking lot. Many of you participated in that, built the house, moved it as just an expression of our service to our community. The second one has to do with an opportunity in 2019. Prison Fellowship is a ministry started by Chuck Colson from around, that serves around the world. It's been very effective in the prisons. And we fully support that. We've actually been involved in the prison system all the way back to 17th and A, all the way back to the 70s. So a rep from Prison Fellowship and one of the members of our congregation met with me in my office. The state penitentiary had a building in the center of the prison that was pretty run down and unused, and said they would make it available to Prison Fellowship as a place ultimately to reach and disciple the prisoners inside the walls, as long as they came up with the money to do it. They couldn't use state money to do it. So I remember having that conversation, and the rep from Prison Fellowship said, you know, this is what we're doing, this is the vision, anything Lincoln Brand can do to help would be great. I asked a few questions, I said, okay, I think we'll do it. She said, okay, like whatever you can do will be very helpful. I said, I'm not sure you understood what I just said. I said, we'll do it. The cost was $100,000. I laid out the vision to the congregation. In 2 weeks, we had $100,000. I announced that we had hit the goal. Praise the Lord. But so many people told me, we still want to go. We still want to give. Went to $150,000, like within weeks, which allowed them to do some more renovations to make it a beautiful facility for that ministry within the walls of the prison. To me, that's just one of many snapshots of the amazing generosity of the people of Lincoln Brand. But it isn't just money. It's been a significant investment of time and talent. It takes an army to make this place go. Ultimately, it's you. It's the people of the body. You have jobs, you have lives, you have families, yet you sacrifice so much time, so much energy to make Lincoln Berean, Lincoln Berean, which I just think is amazing. It takes roughly 350 people every weekend just to make the weekend go. Most of those people are not paid. They just show up and joyfully serve. Talking to the children's ministry takes about 230 people every month to make children's ministry go. Most of those not paid, just joyfully show up and they serve. Talking to Tyler takes about 100 people every week to serve in youth ministry, to make youth ministry work. Most of those not paid. Takes, right now we have 265 life group leaders, about 1,400 people in life groups. Those people aren't paid. They show up, they faithfully serve in order to make that ministry possible. Over the years, I've told you this many times, but I want to tell you one more time. When people ask me, and they do ask me, what makes Lincoln Berean so special? I always give them the same answer. It's her people. God has always brought amazing people. People willing to sacrifice, people willing to serve, people engaged in the mission, people that are Lincoln Berean Church. You have been strong and courageous. You have trusted God. You have sacrificed. And to God be the glory, He has done great things among us. There's a reason why senior pastors stay 30 years. Ryan mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that over 64 years, two senior pastors, now Ryan. The reason is because of you. Pastors stay a long time because this is a very special place to be. It has been the honor of a lifetime to be your pastor. I love you guys. I'm so proud of you. God has done great things. as I was with Moses, Joshua, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. I will not forsake you. I will not fail you. So now we look forward. This is a big mission. There's a lot to do. We need to continue to trust God and be faithful. So how I want to end the service is by commissioning, in a sense, our current staff, our current team, as we move forward and expect God to do great things. So I want to invite all the current staff to come down front, fill up this space. This is ministry staff. This is business team staff. This is support staff. This is campus ops staff, full-time, part-time. Everybody part of the team, everybody matters. I also want to invite the current elder board to join them, which fills out this team moving forward. It's good to remind you this morning that the official transition was made in 2021. Ryan took over as the lead pastor. I have not been involved in running the church since 2021. I don't go to the meetings. I don't make any of those decisions. This team's been doing it. So Monday morning, they're going to keep running the church. It's not like it's a big change. But I did think it would be neat to bring the team together and have an opportunity to pray over them, to commission them, to move forward, to accomplish the mission that God has given us. I've also invited back past elders. This would be the leadership team who's been part of getting us to where we are today. So first I'm going to ask them to stand. I'm not sure who all was able to come back. But before you come down front, just stay there because I want to identify you. So let's see. There's Paul Lux, Roger Sand, Ralph Hansen, Dennis King, Bob Thompson. I think Bob goes back the farthest. He was part of the elder team all the way back in 17th and A. Next to him, Don Stoner, Dick LeBlanc, who went with North Point to plant the church up north, Brent Smith, Len Rosenberry, Tim Bulkey. Is that everybody? Oh, and Nate Eichstein, way up at the top up there. All right, I'm going to invite them to come down front. Invite them just to lay their hands on some of these staff members. And I want to invite Roger Sand. So for most of my time here, as senior pastor, Roger was the chairman of the elder board. Roger owned his own business, not paid. He was chairman of the elder board. He did a great job with that. He's been a good friend to me. He's been a great encourager. It just seemed fitting to me that Roger would pray a prayer over us as a congregation, over the staff, and I'm excited about what's ahead. This is an amazing staff. When the elders gathered together years ago and began praying about this transition, what we were praying for was that God would give us a new, young, passionate, talented staff to take the church forward into her next season. I told the staff a couple weeks ago, looking around at them, it's like, this is what we prayed for. And it's amazing to see God's answer. I love these guys. They're talented. They're passionate. I'm excited because I know God's going to do great things through them. So Roger, if you would lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather as your church this weekend to celebrate the great things that you have done among us. We thank you for the privilege of being invited to be a part of what you've done to impact our lives over these many years. We thank you for your faithfulness that all generations experienced over 6 decades of ministry in this community. We thank you for the many on staff and in the congregation who have listened to your voice, obeyed the call, and given themselves to the mission you've called us to. Today we look back and celebrate what great things you have done. May we be strengthened and resolute to hear and obey your voice to accomplish the mission in the years ahead. May yesterday's victories fuel the faith we will need to move forward, to trust you for the challenges that loom in the future. We pray for Ryan, the elders and staff, as they lead us forward in the months and years ahead. May you protect and guide them. May they be bold to stand on your truth. May they be courageous to listen and obey what you are calling them to accomplish. May they be humble, grateful, and dependent, so as to never lose sight of the reality that this is your church, and to you be the glory for the great things you do. God, finally, we ask that you would show yourself in the years to come in ways that are new and fresh. May you demonstrate your power, your compassion, your kindness in the lives of your people to a dark and hurting world. May the reality of your presence in the lives of your people provide refreshing water to the hurting around us, desperately in need of that which will satisfy their thirsty souls. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.